I want to ask you to take your Bible today and turn with me to a passage of Scripture that, for those of you who were at Bible study this morning, is going to sound very familiar. I did not plan this way as far as picking the date, but the Lord had it planned. I want to ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and read with me from verses 32 through 36. Acts chapter 20, verses 32 through 36. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Father in heaven, we beg you today that as we have heard your word read, we would hear it in our hearts, that you would bless it, Father, through the Holy Spirit to be lodged in our mind and in our spirits, that you would teach us through it today, that you would bless me to be able to speak in a way of clarity and simplicity, and yet to speak in the power of the Spirit of God. Father, we know that our life is filled with challenges that we face day by day, and yet there is no difficulty that we face that is beyond the scope of your power. And your power in us is not simply about making us more powerful, but about glorifying your name. Lord, help today, through your Spirit, that we would hear your word, that we would examine ourselves, and Lord, that in all that we do, in receiving your blessings, that we would glorify you through Jesus Christ. We ask it for his name's sake, and amen. I want to call your attention today to the words that are spoken in verse 35. We have been endeavoring to look at a series of scriptures in which the words challenging us to remember some things are given. We've looked at remembering what the Lord has done, remembering who we were in terms of being separated from Him. We're going to look at a very practical thing that we are to remember today, but that remembrance is a very spiritually and very scripturally based. We've been living in course of, by now, a well-documented pandemic. As a matter of fact, it was about a year ago this week that things began shutting down, that we began witnessing prohibitions, that we began experiencing having to go without things that we were accustomed to doing, that we were separated from fellowship with one another for a little while, and we had to take advantage of avenues that were open to us, and we had to somewhat change our thinking. The fact of the matter is that pandemic and other things that have gone along at the same time have created a situation in the world today in which many people find themselves suffering without some things. We've had bad weather. We've had struggles because of that. We've had economic hardships created by the pandemic and by decisions that have been made, and all of those things exist. Now, I understand, I've heard people say, well, that's the Lord's judgment upon this country, and it may very well be. My own personal feeling is that it is. But that doesn't change one thing, and that is that in the midst of that, there are those whose hearts are struggling, and there are those whose lives are affected. And one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we feel and how do we react toward those who are in a time of need? Well, one of the things that the Apostle Paul says to us in this particular passage is that we need to remember the words of Jesus. And those words of Jesus are, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the context of that particular passage of Scripture that we've read is found, as we saw in the adult Bible study lesson this morning, is found in Paul's farewell address, as it were, to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem. He wanted to be there by Passover. He knew he would not have time to travel all the way to the city of Ephesus and spend a little time with them and then retrace his steps and get back to Jerusalem in time. Ephesus was an important place to him. Ephesus was a place where he had spent some 3 years of time teaching. And while he was there, the Scriptures tell us that he taught at a school on the outside of the city. And he taught there for a 2.5-year consistent period of time. And from there, his word spread to many surrounding areas. Now, if we go back into verse 17... and follow through on this instruction. When Paul called the elders of Ephesus to meet him at Miletus, he began by addressing them, and I'm going to call attention to two particular things. There's a lot of things in these verses, but I want to call your attention to two particular things. One of them is that he had been with them in all kind of seasons and had not hesitated, had not faltered in giving them the whole counsel of God. He had not withheld anything from them. He had testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. He had spent this time teaching to them the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. He gave them warning that as he was leaving them, he was fully aware they probably were not going to see his face anymore. As a matter of fact, he addresses them in this way, and you won't see me again face to face in this life. But I know as I'm going that first of all, the grievous wolves are going to come in among you. And then he also says that I know that out of your own selves will there be those that would rise speaking perverse things. Paul knew that they were going to be facing some difficulties and some trials. But what was it that Paul went back to? Paul goes back in these verses that we've read, especially in verse 35, to one particular thing. He goes back to the words of Jesus. And folks, I want to tell you, the words of Jesus are absolutely essential. The words of Jesus establish those things that ought to be taught and repeated and reaffirmed as Paul taught them all things that were necessary. The words of Jesus lay out for us those things that are necessary in our relationship to the Father and in our living with one another. There would be efforts to disrupt those things, but we're to remember the words of Jesus. And in that remembrance, Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak and remember the words of Jesus. You see, Paul didn't just teach. He demonstrated. He called to their remembrance that he had labored for his own care. These hands have met my necessities and those that work with me. But I have showed you these things, and that ye ought to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want you to notice the impact of this. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Well, he's talking about money. No, I'm talking about the words of Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, where in the Bible, preacher, does Jesus say those words? Okay, let me just ask you to notice. There is no place in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where that expressed phrase is printed as we have the Bible before us. Well, then Jesus didn't say it. Oh, yes, he did. Let me show you two things. Luke chapter 6. And remember, the same man wrote the record that's given in the book of Acts as wrote the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 30. And if you have a red letter edition of the Scriptures, you'll find that all these words are in red. This whole passage of section of Luke chapter 6 are the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. In other words, give to everybody that has a need that would request of you. If you have to help them, help them. And if someone takes advantage of you, don't you go try getting it back. Still don't say that, preacher. Okay. Go with me now to John chapter 21. The last chapter of the book of John. And notice John's final words in verse 25. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they could be written, every one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Okay? Did you get the thrust of that? Jesus did things and said things that aren't recorded in what we have. He was here 3.5 years, and he did things that were not written down per se, but that doesn't mean that they were any less true. And his teaching of it's more blessed to give than it is to receive falls within that passage. It doesn't mean that it's untrue or that it's unimportant. It means just as much, because it's recorded in the book of Acts, that it meant, well, if it had been recorded by exactly those words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are the words of Jesus. Okay? Now, I want you to notice this statement that's made in Acts chapter 20 in light of another fact. Paul lays out for them his willingness to work and to labor for his own sustenance and his own necessities and those of the men that were with him. Paul never traveled alone. Paul went with men like Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and some others that he names, but Paul, as he traveled with those that traveled with him, they were a support group for him. They were encouragement for him. They were teachers for others that he would be around. But he said that I worked for my own necessities and for those of the ones that were with me. Now, Paul does not countermand the instructions of the Scripture that a man who works of the gospel is to live of the gospel. It is true that the Scriptures teach us that the church is to support those who labor among them. Paul, the same man that reminded them of this statement in Acts chapter 20, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 7, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk thereof, say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen?" And I think the way he says that, it is, does he take care only for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? No doubt this is written that he hath plowed should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Paul goes on to say, and to reinforce in this ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians, that the church, as within God provides for them, are to provide for the man that labors among them. But now what Paul is saying is that, look, I have labored by my hands. Not that you should be excused, but that you should see that there's no covetous within me. I'm not simply trying to make a living from among you. I'm not simply trying to gain from among you. I'm willing to, as Paul said in another place, to spend and be spent. It's better, you see, rather than having a self-centered focus on life, it's better to be willing to give. It's better to give than to receive. Now, that doesn't say God's not going to give you. It doesn't say that you're not going to receive. It's the focal point of the fact that we are not to be covetous of things simply for our own possession and simply for our own comfort. It is rather that we would consider others more highly than ourselves. God provides for me. But God provides for me that I can, like Paul, labor for myself and support the weak. Isn't that what he says in this passage in Acts chapter 20? I have showed you all things. That includes all the doctrine of God's grace that he laid out in before them in the book of what we know as the book of Ephesians. How he taught them of God's election of them, how he taught them of God's redemption of them in the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those things are laid out there that we would trust the God who did all of those things to provide for us the things that we need. I have showed you all things so that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That you remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Paul's not giving them anything new. Paul's not laying out anything radical. Paul is simply calling to their attention the things that God, come in the flesh, has already said. Remember the words of Jesus Christ. Mark it out. Call attention to it. Remind yourself of it. Make yourself recall it. I found it interesting. I was reading under one writer that said that the word that we have translated as remember comes from a family of words from which we also get the word amnesia. Interesting combination, isn't it? You see, what he basically is saying, don't allow yourself to forget and not recall, but make yourself recall those things that you have been said, that you have been taught. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not talking today simply in a matter of, well, it's better for us to put it in a church place. No, it's better for you to have a mindset of giving in the support of those who are weak. Giving in a corporate manner, yes. But giving in every opportunity you might have in the service of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gives us a couple of other passages in the book of Matthew. I want you to turn with me into Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now, these are the words of Jesus, remember? Okay? Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 8. Matthew 26, verse 8. Well, let me back up to verse 6, because there are some things that explain some of these statements. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, we're also told in one of the gospel writers that the main one that was concerned about this was Judas, and because Judas held the bag, and Judas wasn't concerned about the poor, he wanted the money. But notice what Jesus said. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Red letters, words of Jesus. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. What I want you to see is Jesus made a statement that's very important to us. The poor ye have always with you. It's not a matter of if you give enough, they won't be poor people. The sinfulness of men and the nature of sin within us lead to deprivation. It always has, it always will. That's not a matter of finger pointing and saying, oh, poor folks, if they were more spiritual, they wouldn't be without. I don't know. The Bible said that there were always the poor that were about. It's not a matter of not being concerned about the poor. It is recognizing that there are those who are weak. And this passage in Acts links the two. That you would support them that are weak, remembering the words of Jesus, it's better to give than to receive. If we turn back just one page or one chapter, Matthew chapter 25, verse 45. Jesus had been speaking to those who had done to him. And they wonder how. He said, for when I was an hungered, you gave me meat. And then, well, that's earlier. The passage exactly is when he's talking to those who didn't do what they ought to do. For when I was an hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Now those are direct opposites of statements that he makes earlier in the passage, beginning at verse 35. I wasn't hungered and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Both groups Well, when did we do these things? They both asked the same question. When did we do it, or when did we fail to do it? Jesus answered them, when, verily, verily, I say, in verse 40, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Same thing down here in verse 45. Verily I say unto you, those who did not, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. You see, the idea that we need to keep in mind is when Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, is that we are giving to those who may very well be among the least capable, the least strong, the least spiritually developed, the least of those His brethren. Well, how do I know if they are? You don't. Neither did that man of whom we're told in Luke of the parable of the Good Samaritan. He didn't know either. But he was passing down the road and he stopped and this guy had been beaten and left for dead. He wasn't dead. He was still alive, but he was very badly harmed. He was injured. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know what his status in life was. He didn't know anything about it. And yet he stopped. Luke 19, verse 29 through 36. And there's a tremendous lesson for us here. If you go back and you look in that passage, here's a man who did several things. This is where I want to keep in mind that we are to give to those who are weak. It's not always just a matter of handing out money. That may be the need sometimes. What I want you to notice is the consciousness that we ought to have that there are those who are weak around about us. They can be weak financially. They can be weak physically. They can be weak spiritually. All of those things are there. What is the lesson of this Samaritan in the parable that we know is the parable of the Good Samaritan teach us? I'm not going to take time to read all of the verses, but it's from Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 36. He comes along and this man's lying there in the road. First thing he does is he gave his time. He stopped. He was on his way to do something. He was going somewhere. And the reason I know that is because when he had taken care of this man, he left. He had to go somewhere else. But he told the man, I'll be back by. What I want you to understand is the first thing he was cognizant of in giving was that he had to give his time. He stopped from what he was doing. He took time. He gave his time. Second thing he did, he gave what some of his resources. He poured oil that he had into the wound of this man who had been beaten. That oil was carried with him, not as a first aid kit necessarily, but it was carried as part of his life. It was used to make food. It was used as medicine sometimes. It was used in a lot of ways. But he took what he had and he poured it upon this man who had need in the same way that the woman who came to Jesus took what she had and poured it on his head. She didn't know she was anointing him for his burial, but she was giving him the best that she had. And you see, folks, when we give, it's not give as little as we can get by with. It's giving the best that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. Gave time, gave resources, gave actual money. He carried the man to a motel, paid the bill, and then when he left the next day, he paid for some additional time and he said, if this is not enough, I'll make it up to you when I come back by. That gives me to understand in my reading of that passage that this was probably a place in which he had stayed before. and probably a place where he was acquainted with the individual who ran the place, and the man was acquainted with him. And what he said was, "I'll make it good." So he actually gave monies that he had, and then he gave his energy. Have you ever thought about this? Bible says that he treated the man, bandaged his wounds, and then he took him and he put him on his animal. He put him on his donkey, if you would. And the man who had been wounded rode, and this man walked. He gave of his own physical effort. He gave of his time. He gave of the resources that he had. He gave actual physical money. And he gave his energy. So what I want you to see today, folks, when Paul says, remember the words of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He's not just talking about handing out money. That may be part of it sometimes. But there's a lot of other ways that we need to be aware of those that are weak. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I hear people say, well, if you give, God's going to give it back to you. I'll buy that. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you that that's exactly what he says. But that's not the reason. It's not a matter of giving in order to be blessed. If you give it away and get nothing, it's still more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because you are pleasing the Father. You are doing what He tells you through the words of His Son that you ought to do. And is not that the most important thing? Is that we do always, like Jesus did, always those things that please the Father. The greatest blessing is in obeying the Lord. Not in how much we get back. Not in what I might gain. Well, somebody might take advantage of me. So be it. You let that be between God and them. You do what God tells you to do. And your blessing comes in saying, Lord, yes, I will. Because that's the real issue, isn't it? It's a matter of submission and a matter of obedience. It's not a matter of dollars and cents. Well, I don't have it to get. Do you? Okay, fine. There's times when that's absolutely true. But you also remember that the Scripture says God doesn't expect what we don't have. He expects what we do have. So He's not going to give a demand to you to do what's well beyond your capability of doing. So when He presents you an opportunity, remember that it's from His hand. And to say, yes, Lord. And to know that His blessing will be greater on you. You see, God does give back to us. Go back with me into Luke chapter 6 again. I want to go back to a different verse. Go to Luke chapter 6, look at verse 38. And I'll close with this verse of Scripture. And it's also given in light of the previous verse, which is involved with forgiveness. But he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give sparingly, you'll receive sparingly. That's true. But you see, the real issue is not the volume that you get back. The real issue is that you give willingly. God will handle the rest of it. God will take care of our needs. But the real issue is that I show the world through my testimony how the Lord would have His church to treat those that are weak. Paul said, I've labored with my hands so you would know
Folks, do you understand that our giving is not just, oh, we got to make people have more money. We've got to give so that they won't be poor. We've got to give so they see the love of God in us. Through Jesus Christ, Jesus gave His own life. And if we're not willing to give the things that God's given to us, then we don't demonstrate the love of God. Do we show that we're willing to take our own hands and labor for someone else's necessities? Do we show that we're willing to take our time for somebody else that needs it? Do we show that we're willing to take our resources to lift up somebody else, to help mend their life when they're in a difficulty? Do we show that we're willing to take our funds and spend them for somebody who is in need? Folks, you see, this is not a political issue. This is not a social issue. This is a spiritual issue. And it's not because the preacher said you ought to give to the church. It's because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember, we got a budget. You got to give to the church. It's because Paul said, remember the words of Jesus. And I would tell you, folks, yes, the church has needs and obligations, and that's one of the things that we ought to do. But there may be things that we're called upon to do on Thursday afternoon when we're a long way away from the church building. Oh, I can't give it to you. I've got to put it in the church. God never gave us the license to make that judgment. When there's a need put in front of us, it's more blessed for us to give than for us to receive. That's a pretty powerful statement. Because the blessing comes in obedience. The blessing of giving to the church comes in obedience, not the amount. The Lord says the tithe is the Lord's. Handing to someone whose life has been beaten and broken is an opportunity that is the Lord's before us. As we give, there's also that little passage that says, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't give so other people will see it. You give because it's what God wants you to do. Folks, how do we look at it? Do we understand that that's our opportunity to obey God? Obey in faith. Obey believing that God's going to give me what I need. And obey to serve. The greater blessing is in service. He'll take care of all the rest. May the Lord bless us to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, touch our minds and hearts today, and to know that it's not a matter of volume of monies or volume of resources. It's a matter of a willing heart. May we start with that. May our heart be willing to give as you give us opportunity. May we obey to give of ourselves first and trust you to take care of us. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.